Now we get to an interesting phase which should interest students of this book, because we are working then with the discipleship phase specifically. And although Uranus or Venus continues, because as DK says, the esoteric ruler subsumes the orthodox ruler. It does not dismiss it and pass beyond it entirely. And Venus will always be important. Even though it's the orthodox ruler of Libra, it will always be important because it is the planet of the solar angel. And in general, we are being civilized by reducing our generically Martian responses, which are personal and involve every aspect of the personality, by the expression of our Venusian responses. Okay. So, let's take a look at this. The second phase, it's not only the advanced man and the aspirant, one is truly becoming the disciple, and one is mentally responsive to the soul in this very mental science. We're under the influence of Uranus, though Venus, because it is the planet of the solar angel, still is effective, of course. There occurs the weighing of the opposites as devotion and devotion and aspiration increase. We see this right here, weighing of the opposites, devotion and aspiration, the middle phase, the advanced man phase. This continues, but of course we are now into the discipleship phase, so the weighing of the opposites is pretty well decided. The man is weighing in on the side of the soul, and his devotion and his aspiration, interestingly connected, the six-ray qualities, interestingly connected with Libra, are towards the soul. A point of balance is eventually reached between the spiritual man, the soul in incarnation, and the personal man. And then that balance is tipped, and the person decisively under Saturn, because it is one of the major planets of discipleship, along with Mercury, decisively, the person decides for the soul. The man develops the qualities of balance, justice, judgment, enthusiastic wisdom, true and correct expression. These are the list of those qualities of someone who's on the probationary path, and if they are highly cultivated, is moving into the path of discipleship. True and correct expression, straightforward contact, and spiritual attitudes. See, it's quite difficult to align the tabulation on page 332 and 333 exactly with the three rulership phases, but the highest aspects of what are found in the central column on page 333 will, I think, be related to disciples. And in general, the initiate has achieved the highest degree of that which is found in the third column, in this case, balance attained, divine love, understanding. The disciple is still struggling a bit with that, but closer than the aspirant. So we have here first reversal of the wheel under Uranus. Libra is undertaken. The man is confirmed in his reversal of the wheel. He is confirmed in the direction that he is traveling. He may fail somewhere in the future, but he is confirmed. Confirmed in the direction he is taking. Soul values prominent. New forms of social relationship based on right human relations and the authenticity of the individual under Uranus are evolved. It's a disciplic behavior with each other which truly respects the individuality of the other and sees the other as an aspect of the soul. The soul and personality come into increasing balance and harmony, and the marriage in the heavens is prepared. The marriage in the heavens, in a sense, can be considered the third initiation. We're not really there until we reach the third column. The marriage in the heavens, well, one wonders whether that occurs really at the third degree, and whether Libra is a sign which can lead to the third degree, but Certainly, there is a wonderful relationship between soul and personality, I think, in the best Librans, with soul predominating. At this stage, soul predominates in the marriage. Okay. Now, if we go back and we take a look at what it would be like to advance under Jupiter, Saturn, and Mercury, we have these ideas that under Venus and Jupiter, the disciple, the man, emerges increasingly with his solar angel in a harmonious manner. Strong evidences of soul infusion can be seen. I suppose the Christ spirit is permeating. The Christ is deeply identified, I feel, being the Prince of Peace, with the sign Libra, the sign of peace, the sign of peace in Shambhala, the sign of the spirit of peace. The personality learns to cooperate with the soul harmoniously. There's no longer such a battle with the personality seeking its own prerogatives. There is a realization that the personality must be sacrificed upon the cross, crux, which is that extra zodiacal constellation, which is associated with this first decanate. At least that's, you know, if we're going to associate these constellations with the decanate, it seems like this is the right one to do it. Love and understanding are increasingly expressed through all relationships. He becomes increasingly a peacemaker. Peace, well, you know, there's this old saying, and maybe it's in a song, but let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. So it's a Jupiter and Venus phase, generally reoriented away from the demands of the personality via this planet of reorientation, Uranus, which brings into expression the higher ethers. When it comes to Saturn, being a major planet of discipleship, the disciple knows the contrast between the spiritual nature and his personal nature, and intelligently and practically, Saturn finds a place for them both. As an advanced man, the power of love and understanding grows in his life, and he observes the golden rule. As an advanced man and aspirant, he probably tries to observe the golden rule. And let's just say Libra, Venus, Saturn there. But as a disciple, he truly does observe the golden rule. He may slip from time to time, but it's not the same kind of struggle as realizing he should have. It's a question of how he habitually treats people, not only correctly, but with real respect growing out of love in the discipleship stage. Because more and more of the second ray of Libra is, I think, coming in. The man learns to restrain his lower ego, Saturn. It is that as well. The ego boundaries are ruled by Saturn. And to put others first. Altruism is one of the primary qualities to be cultivated in Libra, and that's why the sun, representing lower ego, is falling here, and why Venus is so important. So the altruistic attitude means egoism is falling away. And he develops a sacrificial attitude here, and that correlates with Lupus, the wolf, the instinctual nature laid upon the altar. His decisions are increased decisions, Saturn, are increasingly made in favor of the soul. The balance is tipped towards soul values, and I would say tipping in the aspirational stage, and most definitely tipped in the stage of discipleship. I don't want to emphasize here the advanced man too much, because the stage I'm talking about here, which is truly discipleship, goes beyond the advanced man. Although that, you know, the word advanced can cover a multitude of stages. When we come to the 20 to 30 phase, which is definitely under Mercury. He works with intelligence to promote right human relations. He develops an intelligent understanding of group work and skillfully facilitates cooperation. The recognition of others as brothers, true recognition of others as brothers. With intelligence, Mercury, he helps to bring about new patterns of human relationship, Uranus. So the old traditional patterns, even though Libra is a sign in a way that respects social norms under Saturn, are being developed. He's moving away from the Saturnian phase of rulership. And he's entering something that is more Uranian, let us say, although there is a higher Saturnian phase of relationship which is awaiting in the next generic phase, and that has to do with the divine plan, which is atmic in nature and comes under Saturn, which rules that Saturn, which rules that plane. You know, these are in a way speculations. We have to prove these things as we observe human beings and see how they actually respond. And if we could be quite sure of the stage of the development of the human being we are observing, so perhaps when we are truly masters of the wisdom and can see people as they are, as souls, see deeply into their nature, the kind of astrology we're looking to develop here will be truly developed. It's a difficult sign to understand, says DK, because there are many subtle interior adjustments and movements which may not even be noticeable to the outer observer. And the individual may not be distinguished by any type of dramatic expression. Of course, you know, there are many Librans who are in the dramatic arts. It all depends on the stage of evolution and so forth and other aspects and other relationships. But the sun, which is in a way the principle of self-dramatization, especially as it is found in Leo, is reduced in that type of its expression. So many things to think about in relation to each of these lords of constellations and the types of patterns and behavior they induce on our planet, and of course it would be a whole different study to see what they induced on other planets with those other life forms. Since we are on our planet, in a sense, adjudicators between the pairs of opposites, having to learn really what is of soul and what is of personality, Libra will be very important in the process of civilizing man and having him move towards soul values. Most important. Okay, now we move to the final stage. I wish I could get all these nicely lined up. Maybe one day, you know, I'll have to keep on going over these tabulations. I created these for some astrology classes, thinking that it would be useful to attempt to spell out as much as possible what might be expected under each planet that can be said to rule a particular decanate in a particular sign, but realize, of course, that we simply must consider the stage of evolution, one of the six stages of evolution here identified, along with the planetary ruler. We cannot confine ourselves to the idea that the decanate itself tells us what stage of development the man is in. There are so many relatively primitive people, or emotional people, let's say, born in the last decanate, let us say. And it just, to my way of thinking, it just doesn't work out to make the decanate itself the final arbiter. I feel we have to identify the stage of development of the individual before we do any of this business. And this, of course, requires much experience. Much experience, I would say. Of lives and lives of working with astrology and understanding what is the soul, living as a soul, and viewing human beings from the perspective of the soul. Well, we finally come to the initiatic or triadal monadic stage, and I think we can correlate this with what is called the disciple, the initiate, on the third column, the high disciple, higher disciple, and initiate, in the third column of page 332 and 333. So we're now under Saturn, the hierarchical ruler, but we're still necessarily under this, what shall I call it? This pattern of subsuming the way we move towards higher rulers and yet retain the qualities of the previous rulers as expressions to be subsumed within the province of the new ruler, but still expressing the higher qualities of Venus and Uranus. So what does DK say on page 333? He says, balance attained, love, divine love and understanding. So you can understand when you see divine love and related to understanding, we think of the ray of loving understanding, although naturally perfect understanding is also connected with the third ray in some of the old commentary references. But anyway, divine love and understanding can be easily correlated with the second ray. The marriage in the heavens is consummated. There is a true union with the soul and infusion by the soul. And it's consummated under the law of Saturn. There's a successful balancing of karma, not only undertaken, but let me say as I'm thinking about it, undertaken, but in the later stages, fulfilled. Because after all, we're dealing with the initiate here, aren't we? Increasing influence of the spiritual triad, which is ruled by Saturn and has much to do with Libra. Increasing influence of the spiritual triad can be expected as the Antikarana is more successfully built in the third decanate. As the Antikarana is more successfully built in the third decanate, ruled by Mercury, the planet of the Antikarana. And especially of Atma, spiritual will, from which the impulse towards law arises. Saturn is coming in strongly here, even though it's really Saturn Mercury. It's ideal for the disciple. The influence of what DK calls supermind is coming in. Remember, Gemini rules mind in general. Saturn, Libra and its ruler, predominant ruler Saturn, rules supermind, and Aquarius, universal mind. The higher triangle demonstrates in its three aspects, and Mercury is the conveyor of that. So there's much that could be said here, and of course, really what we have to do is find the time and the discernment to identify initiates who are found in this last 10 degrees of Libra, ruled by Saturn in general, in terms of the general developmental phase, and ruled by Mercury. Well, we'll see in just a moment how this works out. We're under a Jupiter rulership in 0 to 10, and interesting how often Jupiter relates to the consummation of marriage. Jupiter, the force that brings things together, Jupiter raising the two poles together into a completely successful union. So Jupiter and consummation in its general relationship to marriages. People oftentimes find themselves getting married under Jupiter. Well, there are all different kinds of marriages, of course, but Jupiter is frequently in the act. A soul infusion is complete. There is a harmonious soul infusion. especially when we're dealing with the initiate in Libra. This is, you know, we must agree that people who have had the soul infusion process, maybe even in Scorpio or in some other way, can be born in Libra. To be born in Libra does not mean that one cannot be an initiate of the third degree. Everything else depends on the other kinds of signs that are found. Interesting in the chart of Swami Vivekananda, how many planets he has in Libra. What is it? Saturn and the Moon, I think. I'm wondering if Jupiter is there, too. Obviously, he is the third degree initiate. His Moon is there. Maybe it shows it was left behind. Capricorn is rising, and the Sun is in Capricorn, too. So the major third-degree indicators are there, along with the evidences of successful balancing. Wouldn't it be interesting if Jupiter, Saturn, and the Moon were all there, giving us all the decanate rulers of Libra as Cefario sees them? Let me just take a quick look. Okay. Well, my memory did not fail me on this particular occasion, because we do have a very close conjunction of Saturn and the Moon with Jupiter also in Libra. All three of the decanate rulers are there, at least in the Cefario system. Mercury, of course, is down here in Aquarius in a trine relationship to the Saturn and Moon. So there was a tremendous discipline. The whole question of celibacy was not an issue for him. He had worked that through before, Saturn, Moon, in Libra. But he had expansive relationships with people, very magnetic. Venus was rising in the chart. Maybe the Sun was rising too. And these expansive relationships were based on soul attraction. So he could socialize expansively, Jupiter in Libra, without falling victim to attraction to the lower form. Interesting that Jupiter then was in the Mercurian decanate. He had many classes and many retreats, and it would seem that he was just quite a normal person, you know, as his biography says, loving hot and spicy food and all the rest, and intervening in the cooking of things, all that. But he had solved the issue of unbalanced fiery passion, and all of the energies were elevated towards the mountaintop. And there's good reason to think that he went on and took the fourth degree as well as some of his later experiences. He only lived to be 39 years old, as some of his later experiences indicated. I think Ramakrishna, his mentor, his guru, said, well, they each seem to admire each other so much. Ramakrishna said, when Vivekananda discovers who he really is, he won't stay long. So each had this kind of admiration for the other. And I guess people say that he kind of made a voluntary exit. He had loads of first ray. Kind of wonder whether it was his monadic ray. He seemed, first ray and second ray, tremendously powerful in his case. Anyway, so all three rulers there in Libra. What was I talking about? Anyway, the divine marriage. So soul infusion is complete and harmonious. I'm thinking also of Albert Schweitzer. Some charts show him not with Scorpio rising, but as a Capricorn with Libra rising. We really have to look at the charts of initiates and what is placed where, and we have to have enough of them to have a reasonable sample. So abundant love, abundant, as that's Jupiter, abundant love and divine understanding are expressed in all human relationships. I think we saw that with Vivekananda, Jupiter in Libra. The man demonstrates a natural and spontaneous, there's Jupiter again, altruism. Saturn is not the planet of spontaneity. Jupiter much more is. Just the way Sagittarius has many spontaneous factors associated with it, and Capricorn fewer, I suppose. The expanding and harmonized causal body is enriched from the sphere of the spiritual triad, because Libra, for the initiate, is associating much with the spiritual triad, which is ruled by Libra in general. The man is an harmoniously soul-infused personality who identifies primarily with the higher of the pairs of opposites. Well, really, his identification with the higher of the pairs of opposites is very much the case. The soul, and even the triad. So I want to say the soul, and triad, the true ego, as D.K. says. He lives his life as an expression of peace, expressed through love and wisdom. Gandhi had a lot of Libra in his chart. He had the sun in Libra and Libra rising. I wonder what decanates. We can take a quick look at Mohandas Gandhi and see G-H or G-A-N-D, H-I. Okay, let's take a look there. Well, we find him with his sun in the early part in this decanate, in fact, and later in the Mercury decanate, his ascendant, really as a peacemaker par excellence, even to the point where I think he was criticized by some of the members of the hierarchy for being too much along the line of peace and not deciding for or against the two sides in the Second World War. Interesting. So the Jupiter aspect of peacemaking is very strong in Gandhi's chart. The Mercury coming in with his ascendant gives, I think, the strategy. I think we have to definitely look at him as a disciple and as an initiate of some kind. What degree, we cannot be certain. Certainly the second degree and maybe beyond. When we go into the Saturn decanate, from 10 to 20, and we're talking about the initiatic level, even possibly involving the monad, the man has a very full grasp of the law of karma. Well, Saturn is the foremost of the karmic lords, planetary karmic lords, and scrupulously, Saturn observes the law of right human relations. So there's a very great sense of justice here, with Saturn being really the strongest planet in Libra, and so in a way reinforcing this decanate position. This second decanate for the advanced man and higher being, disciple initiate, is going to be very strong because it's reinforced by the most powerful planet in the sign Libra. Spiritual will, I suppose from the atmic plane, enters his life, and he learns to evaluate and judge with spiritual impersonality. There's judgment from Libra in general, the evaluative tendency in general, and he judges with spiritual impersonality, characteristic of the spiritual triad. So I suppose it's quite a lofty perspective, and really this would have to be the most impersonal of the decanates of Libra. Here is where we find perhaps a certain severity in this sign, a certain exact justice. You kind of wonder whether on a lower turn of the spiral, the so-called hanging judge, you know, who's always judging without mercy and according to the exact letter of the law, without giving much leeway, whether such judges who developed a reputation of that nature did not have a strong second decanate Libra somewhere, strong Saturn. Okay, so his spiritual impersonality. Through spiritual will, he begins to learn the meaning of Shambhala, because we have seen the connection of Saturn with Shambhala, as we have seen a great bear, Leo, Saturn, Shambhala. That particular line, which also includes the head and the base of the spine center, is part of the great triangle. A great triangle which on that level involves Saturn, Uranus, and Mercury. He acts as an agent of the will to promote right human relations, the laws which will do that, and he has sacrificed himself, Lupus, upon the altar of spirituality. So there's no question there. The initiate knows what it means to put his wolf nature, one of the ways of interpreting the wolf, on the altar to have it consumed. The sun falls because the lower ego is defeated. Sun and Saturn are opposites here. The Saturn represented the outermost boundary, at least it usually does in decanate matters. So, and the thing to do here, of course, would be to make a real study of this, would be to go into all these famous individuals and find out who it was that had particular Saturn emphasis here and who was an initiate. We noticed in the case of Gandhi, though, interestingly, that it was the Jupiter influence and the Mercury influence which we had, because it was the first and the third decanate which were accentuated. Well, look at that Uranus up here, being the planet of revolution in the sign of one's homeland, and in the decanate ruled by Vulcan, moon Vulcan. Spiritual will was really operative, and he was quite a personage as well, with the moon in Leo, so he dramatized. He put himself on the line and led these demonstrations. He embodied the resistance, nonviolent, of course, it was Libra, the resistance that he saw as utterly necessary to break the grip of the John Bull part of Britain on India. You know, the John Bull part of Taurus can be quite possessive, and I think that before the Second World War impoverished England, or Great Britain, there was a real tendency to hold on to its possessions, or colonies, we might say. So the end of colonialism came with the inability financially somehow to support that. The Second World War changed everything in that respect. Now we move finally into the Gemini aspect. It's Libra sub Gemini with Mercury as the ruler and with Corona Borealis as the proposed associated constellation. The higher triad and the lower triad merge. Buddhi, i.e. Mercury, and Manus, which is Venus, Saturn, and Uranus, are uniting. Well, was this happening in the life of Gandhi in a spiritual sense? Conflict under Mercury, as it is the star of conflict, is resolved, and harmony takes its place, because it is, after all, the planet of harmony through conflict in that sense, not only of conflict. If Mercury can shuttle fast enough and skillfully enough between the pairs of opposites, then perhaps there can be evolved an intelligent harmony. The power to bring peace through loving intelligence is accentuated. Interesting that the third decanate of Aquarius is ruled by Venus, and the third decanate of Libra ruled by Mercury. These two planets have, these two signs have so much to do with creating the right social conditions, which are harmonious, soul-infused, and intelligent. The power to bring peace through loving intelligence is accentuated. The man stands at the center and can intelligently and intuitively, those are Mercury words, coordinate many forces and many individuals. He has the intelligence to do this and to see the relations between things. The Antikorana ends in the in Shambhala, the monad, and spiritual success crowns his effort. I guess we're looking at a very high initiate here, if we think of it this way. I guess we could say that the spirit of peace, as Gandhi understood it, really animated his actions, and that he was driven by a shambolic power, even though the members of the hierarchy, Master DK here among them, said that he really refused to take sides, and he should have, because it was a question of real evil versus good in the world. So the Antikarana, Mercury and Gemini, ends in, well, in Atma for sure, and in the monad possibly, and spiritual success crowns his efforts. There's Corona Borealis. Kundalini rises, that's Mercury Kundalini active, and the royal road, the Sushumna, is trodden from the base to the crown. It is, I suppose if we look at the final decanate in a sign, and we consider the final decanate in the final phase of human development, which is the, in this case, the Saturnian phase, where we are truly abiding by God's law, spiritual law, divine law, Sanat Kumara as the Ancient of Days, the truly Saturnian administrator of all that proceeds on earth. Because, you know, we can see not only is he the youth of endless summers, but he's the Ancient of Days. Not only is he the Lord of Venusian love, but he carries this strong impression of the venerable aged one under Saturn, Sanat, Saturn. These are so closely related. I suppose if we look at that final decanate of the final stage, we will understand some kind of consummation with respect to that sign. It is true when we look at the final decanate in Capricorn, which is essentially ruled by Mercury at first, but really veiling Vulcan and the Sun. There's a glorification that's going on there for the initiate. We're looking at the possibility of the third degree being taken. We're looking at Aquila, the eagle, associated with that decanate. A great first-rate power descends. The first-rate power of the monad is creating a glorification at that point, a brilliant release of light in Capricorn, and maybe even a moving on towards a still higher liberation, because we're told that Capricorn rules all the five initiations. And even if we, well, if we start at the birth, it'll go to the fifth degree, but if we start at the third degree, it'll go to the seventh degree, and definitely the third degree and the fourth degree would be involved with Capricorn, although the signature initiation associated with Capricorn is the third degree. Well, you know, the more one works in this area of the decanates, the more one sees that it is indeed a fluid area. There's a lot of uncertainty about it. Man has to learn to see in two directions simultaneously. Man has himself to not only be reversing the wheel, but to be the wheel which turns upon itself in order, I think, really to understand this area. But we can, as I say, begin with the study of human nature. We can study people exhaustively, if we possibly can. And we can correlate what we find from the perspective of a fairly discerning soul vision. We can correlate what we find with these stages of rulership, something quite new in DK's astrology as he presents it, and with the decanates as he presents them, when he does totally present them, because they will always be from a spiritual perspective when speaking of the counterclockwise wheel, and we can see if the great patterns will begin to emerge. To study this in the case of high initiates might be most illuminating. A special study could be undertaken here. You know, we have certain people who really stand out along certain lines. We have probably the horoscope of Albert Schweitzer, of Mother Teresa, of Father Damien, Michelangelo, and, you know, the different rays are important here. High initiates on certain rays. Some of the great philosophers. We don't really have the horoscope of Plato very well. We have kind of a horoscope of Aristotle. It's going back a bit far. We'd almost have to be a master to be able to read the records to know what those horoscopes were. I suppose we have some great mathematicians. They often suffered in their person extensively, trying to come through with these third ray revelations. And I'm looking at Georg Cantor, obviously on the third ray with his mathematics, new mathematics of infinity, and Kurt Gödel, considered by some to be the greatest philosopher of the 20th century, but certainly a supreme logician. And he eventually starved himself to death. And obviously they weren't quite the full initiate because they still had destructive tendencies in their personality which served to be their undoing. Bertrand Russell, a great mathematician and philosopher and eventually a peace activist, what did he undergo that changed him perhaps from one of the most remote intellects, pristine in his reasoning, to someone who took to the streets with young people and essentially weighed in very forcefully in the cause of peace and anti-nuclear proliferation? Was he a third degree initiate? Did he pass through that? Because sometimes, you know, you can pass through that in a way without believing in God per se. Was Buckminster Fuller an initiate that can be studied in this respect? His Cancerian, I think. But his rising sign is unknown, I speculate, as Aquarius. Leonardo da Vinci was certainly an initiate, and we have his horoscope, and we would have to examine this under the fourth ray. He had strong Taurus, and I believe Sagittarius rising, two fourth ray signs. Interestingly, Decay even speculates that probably had two fourth rays, either personality and mind, or soul and personality. Anyway, two strong fourth rays. Could we look at the decanates and could we find the man? Human nature is so complex. So many different streams of energy are contributing to what we are. So, are we discerning enough to, discriminating enough to identify these streams of energy and their relative importance and what is coming from where, really? Be fascinating, of course, and then not only the individual as he is in a particular life, but the individual over many lives. I suppose Abraham Lincoln is another one to study on the first ray. It seems that he calls him a great disciple, you know, and working on the factor of synthesis in the most tangible manner. A great example, I think, of the first and second ray. And probably, you know, I would say an initiate of the third degree for he, you know, and having to run that war, that very unpopular war, and to hold firm. His horoscope is also uncertain. But he is an Aquarian, identified with the Aquarian soul of America, and the way I've looked at it, from his physiognomy and from progressions and transits, I think a Sagittarius ascendant, a great prophet, almost like an Old Testament prophet in a way. He has a deep identification with the Old Testament. You can feel that in him, Moon and Capricorn. Can we identify then the particular decanate and its rulership? He's February 12th. I guess that has to put him in the Venus decanate of Aquarius, and the whole question then of brotherhood and brotherly love and all the things which his myth is identified would emerge. You know, the America that Lincoln, at least in his myth, seems to be promoting is one in which true brotherhood does exist. But what is the Sagittarian decanate? Might be even worth having a quick look at that. Let's see. Lincoln. Is he here? L-I-N-C-O-L-N. I did do a rectification of his chart and was satisfied, as others are not, with the Sagittarius ascendant. Well, I'll tell you what, the way to do this is just to look him up. And just the word Abraham, Father Abraham, so identified in a way with the manners department, but also with the Christ. Famous and cleaner. Abraham Lincoln rectification. So let's look at that. Let's see, 208. Let me put that down. Yeah, and they're having him in the... Whoa, interesting. The way it looks to me, in the first decanate of Sagittarius, is that ruled by, let's take a quick look here, at the decanates in landscape. We go over here to Sagittarius. It's ruled by the lyre, or the falling gripe, the falcon descending in a way. It almost seems that it could be the altar, but it's Jupiter again. And here's Aquarius. Decanate is definitely the third, with the last decanate in the moon. You kind of wonder to what extent he may have achieved initiation in a previous life. You wonder, is he a candidate for the fourth initiation? Synthesis, sacrifice, and so forth. But the falling solar angel swooping down and taking its prey, and also the lyre of harmony. Sagittarius very much connected with the playing of the seven-stringed harp. And apparently with Neptune very close to the ascendant, this, the great idealism and the foreseeing, perhaps the foreseeing of what America was to become. He has, what D.K. called him, a racial avatar, and he has inspired so many people to study him and write his biography, because arising, as D.K. said, out of the soul of his people. So certainly identified, you know, sometimes I look at American politics and I say, well, if there's someone with too much Gemini, we might kind of expect identification with the personality of the country. And then if they have Pisces on top of it, we might expect identification with the Piscean age. Well, one of the major candidates in the present election has the sun in Pisces and Gemini rising. So it looks to me like the identification with that which America is supposed to leave behind. Another one of the candidates, if we know his chart for sure, has Aquarius rising. So the possibility of identification with the American soul is stronger. Well, okay, friends, this is the end of what I have to say at this time about Libra. And so much to learn about it. This sign, which is apparently difficult to understand because maybe nothing dramatic is standing out. But every one of these signs is a vast expression of a lord of a constellation who has proceeded in his development far beyond the stage of solar logos, because a number of solar logoi are involved in that expression. So we are just picking up the crumbs off the tables of the gods here, and trying to use our discerning, soul-infusing mind to see the real patterns of things, and what the design of the great creators involved in our particular creation may really be. We're talking about what a solar logos is thinking and planning. We're also living within the system of cosmic logoi, the seven solar systems of which ours is one. We're also living in the system of a super constellational logos, which we call the one about whom naught may be said. Beyond that, we really cannot know too much qualitatively, but within that huge picture, our zodiac has its important place, and our planets, lesser gods, are evolving, and our little sun, solar logos, is evolving, and our tiny earth is having its opportunity, and we, as tiny fragments of all of these greater creative forces, are having our opportunity. Well, that'll be enough then. And the next one that I will begin with will be Esoteric Astrology Adventure 84, and it will begin with Virgo. This is finishing up Libra. And as I said, I'm not at all sure where I am here. The clock tells me that I'm at 2 hours, but I suspect that I'm not. I suspect that I'm more like 1 hour and 52 minutes, or 53 minutes. But let us close this study of Libra with the sounding of the great invocation. I think this would be appropriate, and if things are not as well-timed as they might be, well, we can live with it, I suppose. So here is the great invocation. And we will work, sort of embracing all we've studied with Libra, and realize that now we are going to be dealing with the last six signs of the zodiac, though, of course, in the Tibetan's heuristic manner, considering them in reversed order. Considering Virgo at this time of Virgo, I hope I get to deal with it during this time of Virgo. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, we're turning the corner here, and actually, I guess there's only five signs to go. Is that correct? Virgo, Leo, Cancer, Gemini, Taurus, and Aries, we have done. So we've done seven of the 12. I'm trying to think in how many years it has been. A year and a half, something like that, much interrupted. When I'd like to be doing this every day, but don't find it possible. Okay, onward to Virgo then. And that'll be number 84. I've calculated, am I right? I don't know, but some 300 programs, 300 hour-long programs anyway, may be necessary to do this entire book. And then there are so many things that should be done in the rays and the initiations and in esoteric psychology. What's being done, really? I mean, it's like a study group. In a study group, we get together, we read a paragraph at a time, we all exchange our opinions and so forth, but what I'm simply attempting to do is offer you my thoughts and associations to what DK has said. And it, you know, it's like a large study group in a way, and you may be able to use some of these thoughts and associations as triggers for further thoughts and some illumination on these matters. We're looking for the light here. We're using Mercury a lot in these broadcasts and so forth. We're looking for the flashing forth of light between associated subjects. And sometimes we may find it. Okay. Be with you soon.